Good afternoon. This is a special remote edition of A Podcast Runs Through It. I'm Nelson King, here with Dixie Hart. We're going to bring you the entire recording of a special event that occurred on October 11th, that's Friday, October 11th, in the Shane Lalani Art Center Dulce Theater, a town hall by Senator John Tester.
And in spite of the fact that the town hall was took place at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, the Dulce Theater was filled to capacity and with 165 people, I believe, they can hold.
Standing room only. It was a terrific turnout. Made me feel very proud of Livingston. We did have a little bit of difficulty with the recording. To put it mildly, the sound system wasn't working too well in the auditorium, and so we had to cover it with some of our own equipment. The result is not where we would like it to be in terms of technical quality, but I think you won't have any difficulty understanding what people are saying.
So we apologize ahead of time.
There were a lot of questions. There were no hostile or aggressive types of questions. These were just mainly people who were feeling unhappy, worried, concerned, wanting to know what's going on, and Tester did his best to give level and straightforward answers.
Yeah, and I think one thing that definitely came through from the audience was I think people were really just grateful that they had an opportunity to actually have a live interchange with one of our senators, which seems to be kind of a rare thing these days. So we hope that you all will appreciate the fact, those of you that weren't able to attend, will appreciate the fact that this is an opportunity for you to listen to our Senator John Tester and how he responds to his constituents.
And here we go.
Good cold morning, everybody. Thank you so much for leaving the comfort of your homes. Quite shocked this time of year to have all this snow. My name is Bill Berg. I'm proud to serve on the Park County Commission with Mr. Spinsley and Caldwell. And we're excited to welcome Senator Tester here today. Thank you for making the trip. So John Tester is a third generation Montanan farmer from Big Sandy who was reelected to a third term in the Senate last year. He has served in the U.S. Senate since 2006. He sits on the Senate Appropriations, Banking, Commerce, and Indian Affairs Committees. He's a ranking member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, fighting to ensure our veterans get the care and benefits they've earned. And he's no stranger to Park County. When hundreds of citizens and local businesses spoke up, John listened and led the effort in D.C. to put the Yellowstone Gateway Protection Act on the books. It was a really big lift, and it took a lot of citizen support, but John was our champion in D.C. And it's key to our ag, alpine, and aquatic livelihoods and lifestyle here in Park County. So he's listened before. He's here to listen some more. Please welcome the former, the farmer from Big Sandy.
Thank you for your service. Before we get started, I would ask those of you that can stand, please do and join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, thank you all for being here. This is Friday morning, right? For a Friday morning at 10 a.m., Livingston, Montana, holy mackerel, I never anticipated this big crowd. This is good. I don't know if this place holds 150, 180, is darn near full. So thank you for being here. And by the way, whoever was the brains around this whole facility,
man, I'll tell you what, this is what a jewel for a community. This is really pretty cool. And I want to thank folks for allowing us to be able to utilize this facility, so it's pretty cool. As far as just come on in, as far as how we're going to do this, I think we've got one mic, but I'm not sure that we need any more than mine. If you speak loud, I'm deaf. Too many trackers. In fact, it was 1150 Massey Ferguson that did this to me. But if you speak up, I don't think we probably need mics for you. And so I'll just kind of point to you, and we'll try to keep the folks who haven't asked questions yet as we go forth. Before we start, and I'm not going to talk very long, I just the commissioner pointed out something that is a lesson to be learned by everybody. And that is, it's been a number of years ago now, I met with some folks who were concerned about what was going on at the headwaters of the Yellowstone River and in Yellowstone National Park. Probably 8 or 10 people in the room, and it was a large-scale mine that had potentially going in and really doing some devastation to the economy. And I'm not personally opposed to mining, it's just that some places you shouldn't mine, and this is one of those places. And the community met with me and talked to me about the challenges that were out there and this proposal and asked what we could do about it. And we came up with a solution, and then more people joined on and more people joined on. And Charlotte, you gotta shut that off, it's in my ears. Sorry. Hearing aids that plumb through the phone and this stuff. But the truth is that the community got together and they made their voices heard, and they spoke. And they spoke common sense, and it resulted in change. And that lesson needs to be taught in our civics class, and that needs to be taught in communities around this state, because I hear all the time, you know, nobody ever hears it. Nobody ever does anything. When we call your office, it doesn't do any good. When we send emails, it doesn't do any good. That couldn't be further from the truth. And the truth is, you guys being here today at 10 a.m. on a Friday morning, and I'd say when you could be out fishing, but it's too damn cold to be out fishing, it speaks to that. And this is our government. And it's a democracy, and it's based on people's input, and it works best when people are involved. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for what you've done in the past. Thank you for what you're going to do in the future. And with that, raise your hand and I'll call on you right over here. First one out.
Senator Tessa, Dean Sidney from here in Livingston. I want to ask you about a question we talked about before, which is potential funding for the Transportation Alternatives Program. We are celebrating tomorrow the opening of our Layout Trail of Livingston along East Park Street, which provides a safe path for people to walk from O Street to Veterans Bridge to the hospital and some of the trails beyond. That wouldn't have been possible without the federal pass-through money that goes to the State Department of Transportation.
Yes.
And we really need funds like that in Livingston,
yes,
for sidewalks, for pathways, for other things. And I'm wondering, what do you think is going to happen to funding for that, because it expires next year?
Well, I think that I think it's going to get funded, and the reason it's going to get funded is because there's good support for it, and there's actually plenty of reason to do it that actually makes sense. There's probably some folks from Bozeman here, but you can talk to the folks from Bozeman that will tell you that the pathways they have in Bozeman increases property values for the houses that live along that path. Why? Because people like to have access to it, and it's the same thing here. But to your point, the budget this particular year is very, very very liberal. There's a lot of money in it, okay? And so we ought to be able to fund not only our highways, but the pathways and bikeways that can go with that. I think it's really important from a quality of life standpoint, and for those folks who want to get exercise, it's perfect. It takes away from potential hospital bills. It's just it's a win-win deal all the way around. So I would never say don't worry about a thing, but if you're concerned about that issue, make sure you're on the email. And all of our emails are basically the same thing. It's John.Tester, Tester.Senate, yeah, John.Tester, John.Tester@sin.gov.
Thank you.
Yes.
Kelsey Kenfield from Livingston, I hear what you said about making yourself heard.
Yes.
But I admit, in the last couple of days, I have felt so helpless.
Yeah.
And so frightened.
Yeah.
By what's going on in Washington, yeah. And I was trying to keep a you know a grip.
Keep chin up. Yeah.
The whole thing with the Kurds just yeah. pulled the rug out from under me. I don't really feel like I know what to do to help.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know what to tell you other than just stay involved. Don't be quiet. I mean, people's voices matter, and they do. And look, not everything happens the way I want it to happen either. I mean, there's things that go on every day. Come on in. There's things. You brought the little one. We expect a lot of questions out of him. But you have to remain focused on where you are and where you want this country to go, and continue to give input. And there's a lot of things happening that you know are worrisome, but there's a lot of good things happening too. So you know, just keep focused, keep going, keep giving your input. It's important. Other questions? Let's scoot over here. We get the guy in the front row. I can actually hand him the mic.
Oh, I don't need the mic.
Okay.
Senator, let's be candid here right now. We're in probably the worst crisis our government's been in since certainly Watergate, probably since the Civil War, and I don't mean that as hyperbole.
Yeah.
Today the news is that the former ambassadors to Ukraine and the EU are going to defy the White House and testify in front of Congress. Mm-hmm. The governor, Republican governor of Maryland, has come out. He's on the record for an inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It looks like a few people, and by people I mean Republicans, are finally standing up for mm-hmm. to do their duty.
Yep.
You also hear rumors that there's a number of Republican senators in the Senate that would do something if they could do it in secret. Well, we can't do it in secret. No. If you're going to be in government, you've got to stand up.
Amen to that, brother.
Okay, my question to you is, what is your sense of your fellow senators, okay. and particularly Republicans, in the Senate? Will they do their job? Will they do their duty? Will they prefer our government over our new dictator?
So here's what I will tell you. If you back up those folks who have read their history books or actually lived through Watergate, remember that the Nixon didn't want to get the tapes off either.
No, he didn't.
And it took a Supreme Court action.
To
be able to bring those tapes forward. And so a 9-0 action, exactly correct. I think ultimately this is going to end up in the courts. And what happens in the courts is time will tell. I hope that the three branches of government act like three co-equal branches of government and do the right thing. I agree with you. I think we are in a crisis. But to really put that to the side, you have to have more information. And we have to have more information. And I'm not going to pass judgment until I get as much information as we possibly can. That's why these people who are subpoenaed to testify, I think it's going to happen, of course, and they're going to make a decision. Now, as far as the folks who I serve with and what they're going to do, it's hard to know. I've talked to many of them in private, and many of them in private are not happy with everything. They're happy with some of it, but not happy with some of the stuff that's been going on. I hate to say this because it's crystal ball stuff, and I'm not good at crystal ball stuff. But I think what happens in the polls is going to determine how they flow. That's my opinion. I hope I'm wrong. The truth of the matter is we're America first, and we're all Americans, and then we split off into parties and all sorts of other stuff. But it's America first. This is the greatest country in the world for a reason. It's because our forefathers were damn smart. And it's because we've had three co-equal branches of the government in the past that have worked when there's been problems, and they've solved problems because of that. I wish I could tell you, don't worry about a thing, but it's going to be an interesting time. We are living in interesting times.
Yes, ma'am. There's another microphone available. his hearing aids are actually interacting with that microphone. They're on the same, that they're on the same
frequency.
So we're hearing your hearing aid scream because of the frequency. So if you guys could do
that. And since I'm deaf, I can't hear.
It's wonderful to hear you, but there's a high pitched.
Wow, is it still high pitched?
No, it's gone now. Okay.
Wow. And all you guys were thinking, that guy's head's hollow. The wind is blowing through his ears, just creating a high-pitched scream. Let's go over here. Go ahead.
Linda Birch from Big Timber, Montana. Because the person in the house does not represent me in any way, shape, or form, I participated without any questions directed to me on his, I'm just telling you what I did and I don't know what else to do.
Okay.
On those all Montana town halls.
Yes.
He got one guy named who got in last week and his question was quickly. But I actually ended up calling Adam Schiff's office, I called Nancy Pelosi, and I called Jerry Nadler and let them know that not all Montanans agree with Jan Forte. And that there's a lot of us out here that really support what they're doing, and that we're, I just wanted, and I actually got an email back from Adam Schiff, from his office.
Yes.
So, but it doesn't do me any good to contact my representative, and I do contact your
Well, first of all, it does do good. Even though you don't think it does good. Because, believe it or not, and I don't think it's different in their offices than it is in mine, because I know it's the same in a lot of other offices that I've talked to. We set our office up. I'll tell you, we set our office up based on what Conrad Burns did before us. And then we got those emails. We respond to the emails. I'm going to tell you, I don't read every one because we get about 300 emails and phone calls a day. But the truth is I get a report nearly every day on what people are calling in about. Okay? So if I'm getting that, he's getting that. And if you're not calling in, he's not getting that report. That there are people that have a difference of opinion. And by the way, differences of opinion aren't a bad thing, they're a good thing. They're a good thing. And so I would say, keep it up. And as far as the town halls go, I will tell you that one of the reasons I've done teletown halls, and I'll do some more, but these are really good, because you know what? On a teletown hall, I probably knew what you were gonna ask about before you asked about it. But I don't know here. It's kind of mental gymnastics for me. Yeah. In between the screaming of my hearing aids, yes.
Looking at the format besides Facebook, I deleted my account after every election,
like
the last election.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. But I mean, you always say, go to, I looked at
it. Well, no, I mean, I would go right. I would, no, I'm not a big fan either, but I would go right straight to the email. Or pick up the phone and call the office.
Okay.
I would say if you're gonna write a letter, and letters are great, but letters to DC take about 3-4 months to get there because of what happened, the Dashiell before I got there. So it's been 13, 14 years ago with the anthrax and all that stuff. So letters are hard, but if you're gonna send letters, send them to your state office. Send them to state offices. It's better. I'll take the guy right beside you. Yes.
This is more of a, my name is Davis, I live here in town. And more on a local level. Recently, our HRDC, our mental health services, our OPA, is there a chance that this is going to come back to Livingston? You know, they've been calling this as a veteran community. But we're using the services that we desperately need. And right now, on the horizon, there doesn't look like a chance that we're going to get those back. It's going to spend money here in our town to fund those organizations.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question?
Jake, he asked about the programs that you've lost here. HRDC, what were the other ones? OPA. Services. Jake, did you know about that?
Yeah, those are the state budget cuts that went through the state, so those are federally paid. So we could always.
So here's, argue what, to get them back. Here's what I do. If they're within the state budget cuts, you need to. Apply pressure on your local representatives, and then have anybody else you know in the state of Montana apply pressure on their local representatives. Certainly draft a letter to the governor's office, talk about this stuff. It's critically important. A lot of those dollars are flow-through dollars from the federal government, so they shouldn't be cutting the programs.
Our county has the highest suicide rate in the nation.
That's not good. That's not good. It's bad enough to have the highest suicide rate as a state, but if you're the county within that state that has the highest suicide rate, then you've really got problems. And by the way, without those services that are out there, it's not going to get better. You have to have those services. Yes, and then I'll scoot over to you. Yes.
I actually have two questions.
Two questions, that's illegal.
The first one, the PSC, the Public Service Commission, yes. is about to make a decision that will affect the solar industry in yes. the state. And I wondered if you have been, if it's part of your, what you can do to let them know the national security concerns and other things associated with climate change and how real it is, so
yeah.
that they will consider that more strongly.
Yeah, we can do that. We brought it up, and we will approach it. It ultimately is their call, but we can try to influence that. What's the second question?
The second question is about climate also.
Yes.
Would 3,500 U.S. economists say a carbon dividend will build jobs in the economy while serving as an absolutely necessary first step in reducing climate emissions worldwide?
Yes.
So there's a bipartisan bill in Congress to do this, H.R. 763, as one of our most senior and respected senators. No, not that way, but you've been there a while.
I have.
you're so respected.
Yeah.
I wonder if you would have plans to co-sponsor a companion bill in the Senate, and if not, what are you waiting for?
Well, first of all, I will tell you that, and I said this last night, there isn't a debate on whether climate change is real. It's absolutely unequivocally real. There needs to be a debate, though, on the solutions. And the reason I haven't jumped on board with any of them is because, quite frankly, I don't know what all is out there that could work very, very well, whether it's cap and dividend or whether it's something else. Okay. And so we need. And by the way, I think pressure is mounting. So to a point where I don't think McConnell can hold off on it much longer, and because it is a huge issue, it's a big issue, and this girl right here is going to feel the impacts of it much more than we ever will. And so we need to do something today, and I agree, but until we get a leader in the Senate who's willing to have the debate, it just ultimately just puts a target on the back to get shot. Not literally, but figuratively.
Jack Paul, I Bozeman with it. My question reverts to something that was previously said about alcohol and drug services, mental health services, and I worked many years in the alcohol and drug area. We have much less treatment available today, particularly inpatient treatment, than we did 35 years ago. But in addition to that, one of the major things that changed was commitment laws that changed in the 80s. The protection of the individual's rights regarding commitment and the difficulty in getting them to any kind of treatment. Do you have any awareness? Is that an issue that's being looked at to deal with? They're talking about these mass shootings and, yeah. you know, call in if your yeah. son's causing problems. Well,
yeah.
the way our commitment laws are now, it's an issue.
So, that issue, this is the first time that issue has been brought up to me, the commitment laws in particular. And if it was changed in the 80s, it was probably changed by the state, correct?
It's at national.
It was a national. Well, so then we can deal with it. I would tell you that but it's the first time it's brought up, so we probably should get some more information from you to find out what the differences are to see what we can do to level the playing field. The issue with mental health is it's a tough issue. I mean, it's a tough issue if you're a veteran, it's a tough issue if you're a farmer, it's a tough issue if you live in a rural state, it's a tough issue all over the country. I've said this before, I truly believe this, I think it's the biggest healthcare issue we're facing over the next 40 or 50 years. And in a state like Montana, and I think it probably could be said in more urban areas too, we just don't have enough people that can help. I personally have a number of bills on the veterans front and on the farmer front. We're trying to make a priority to get more help for the folks who need help and to raise an awareness and reduce stigma is also an important part about both of those too. But in the end, I don't think we can sit down. I don't think it's going to go away just because we don't do anything. I think we got to figure out proactive things, and if commitment law is part of it, we need to go back and take a look at that, and I'll get some more information from them, or get my staff to, and we'll rock and roll back on that. Lady in the back was talking about mental health.
Yes, on that same issue, there was a woman in this town who was working with the government on producing a video for the highest suicide rate in Park County, and she dedicated her life to that. And she also had mental health issues, and she attempted suicide twice after she produced that video. And anyway, she left the state of Montana and went to Colorado, and she had threatened several people's lives here with a knife in the state. It wasn't until she threatened your life that they extradited her back from Livingston, Montana, or back from Colorado to Livingston, Montana, where they put her in jail for 9 months. When she got released 2 months ago, she was out 10 days, and she ended up taking her life this time. And the sad part and the tragedy of this is that when I reported that she had attempted to take my life, the first time she went into the second time she went into the mental hospital and went into jail, the feedback I got from the detective here in this town was, he wrote me a letter, I have it in writing. He said, the best advice I can give you is to get some running shoes and to get in shape, join the gym, and you can always outrun somebody you can outrun somebody if they have a gun or a knife. And that was the advice that I was given. Well, when she was released, they released her, instead of putting her in Warm Springs like he was talking about, and they were going to put her into Warm Springs for a year, unlike the second mother to their children, her children, and within 10 days, the record is, and it's on the tape that she produced, within 30 days when somebody's released from a mental hospital or jail, that is the time that is most crucial. And when they released her, she had no place to live, any of those things, and then, you know, tragically, she took her own life. So I'm just bringing this up because to me, it's one of the biggest issues in Park County, and I hope with her children to be bring out some.
And look, no doubt that prisons are full of people who shouldn't be in prison because they have mental health issues. First and foremost, and they're not getting the treatment they need. And who told you about it? Why didn't you, by the way?
She was the detective in our current detective in our police department. Wow. Officer Harris.
Yeah. Go ahead, man, in the corner, and then we're going to have to move this way.
I got a light.
You got a live one up there?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I didn't know you were next either until Jake told me you were next.
That's right. Thank you for coming to town.
Yes.
I started a 30-year law enforcement career in Arizona in the mid-70s. At that time, there was a guest worker immigration program.
Yeah.
Seasonal workers could come in, they work their season, they go back home.
That's correct.
They didn't stay because they didn't have to stay because they didn't have to worry about getting back into the country.
Yes.
Yeah.
It reduced the perils of trying to sneak across the border, the thing we have now with human smugglers.
Yes.
Is a guest program, a guest worker program, feasible again?
Yes.
And would that help address the situation?
Yes. Yes and yes. And yes. The fact is that we had it's been 5 years ago now, we had a comprehensive immigration bill that bipartisan, 4-4, Republicans and Democrats worked on it, passed the Senate, didn't move in the House, that would have done a lot of really good things, including a guest worker program, which I think is really, it's important. It's important for the economy. And yes, unfortunately, it's so polarized. It's polarized, really bad.
One additional comment, you were mentioning about emails.
Yes.
They do work and you do get responses.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's good. I got to get this lady over here that I bumped.
Yes. When I turn on the news at night, it seems like all I see is negative out of Washington. Can you tell us something positive that's happening?
Or no, I can't. look, there's a lot of really good work being done. Let me
The truth is, there's plenty of negative too, okay? But I'll just give you one example. I can give you plenty of them, but we'll stick with Veterans Affairs, and I'll give you two. You guys might remember the Ronnie Jackson incident.
Yeah.
It's pretty well documented. You know who came to my defense before anybody else did? A Republican out of Georgia by the name of Johnny Adjutant. Johnny Adjutant said I had every right to do what I was doing because it was my job to do that. That was a Republican who did that. That's a good thing. When you get Democrats and Republicans working together, that's what's supposed to happen. Okay, so now I draft up, my staff drafts up a really good bill on mental health services for veterans, doing thinking outside the box stuff, you know, utilizing things like yoga and putting services into VFW halls. This bill hasn't gone anywhere yet, okay? But talked to a Republican out of Kansas by the name of Jerry Moran, didn't think twice about it. You bet, I'll be honest. And he's been an incredible advocate for what's in that bill and is doing great work. And I think we're gonna get the thing passed because of that. So there's things that happen all the time under the radar that are very, very positive and move things forward. Look, Yellowstone Gateway Protection Act. We worked on it for a while, but the truth is, it happened. Nothing happens in Washington, D.C. quickly. It just doesn't. But the truth is people are working together all the time to make things happen. So. Okay, Jake, who you got now? He's gone.
Hi, my name is Margie, and I live here in Livingston.
It's Mark. Is that Margie? Yeah. Go ahead. Margie from Livingston.
Margie from Livingston. I have a couple of concerns. First of all, Social Security. The Republicans have their eyes on it.
Social Security, yeah.
And I want to know from your perspective how we can protect it.
They got the cap.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. I have another issue, too. I'm convinced that Trump is a Russian asset.
Yeah.
Well, this last thing, I mean, how does that play into this whole impeachment debate?
I do know. Well, let me. Gosh, there's a lot of crystal ball stuff going on. Trump is a master at pivoting, at deflecting.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think. I can't help but think there is serious stuff is about deflection. I remember when it first got talked about back in January. Mattis was so upset that he left. And Mattis was really a good guy, I'll tell you. I mean, I've known good people, and this guy's at the top. But he was top flight. I respected him. I always called him the adult in the room that never leave, but he left. And that makes me upset. But then, remember, after Mattis left, he didn't do anything. And it was still out there. I made a mistake with Esper, who's the person who took Mattis's place, and asking him what he would do on this, because I thought it was a dead issue, but it's certainly not. And look, I'm the guy that thinks we're in too many wars and we should get out. But the truth is that if you don't utilize the military experts that are there, and I don't think it was done in this case, and it was done by tweet. If you don't utilize the military experts, you create more problems. We're there, we've been there for 20 years, so figure out a way to get out that doesn't cause more chaos. And you guys know the downside to this. The Kurds have been incredible allies of ours. They've fought ISIS, they've done a lot of the dirty work that we haven't had to do. And as we speak, the Turks are taking them out. It's really such a bad example for the country, that with other folks that potentially could help us. Go ahead. I'm close.
In relation to climate change,
yes.
The state has had the Montana climate assessment that came out 2 years ago.
Yes.
And it stated that Montana is warming faster than many other parts of the nation.
Yep.
Would you be willing to help sponsor a summit on climate change, which would help set up accords for the towns and cities of Montana?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it a little more, make sure we get some positive out of it. Who did this assessment?
It was done by the universities. There were 30 people involved, policy people, scientists. They came up with the assessment, and they then went around the state and talked to people about it, telling them what's going on right now and what's going on.
Let's figure out a way we can do something positive in that realm and try. If you think it would empower communities particularly to be able to do stuff, I don't see the disadvantage at all. So,
thank you.
You bet.
Along these same lines of climate change and affecting what's happening globally.
Yes.
Recently, I just read a story that 720,000 acres in Southern California, BLM land, has been opened up for petroleum exploration.
Yeah.
And the article went on to talk about that it opens a possibility for fracking in Southern California. Well, like there's no disaster written all over that. What are we doing as a government to start to slow down some of this nonsense of money is more important than the planet?
Right. So what we're not doing is we're not investing in research so that we don't need the petroleum that is coming out. And that's what we're not doing. And I would tell you that Congress has a lot of things that we can do. We can defund agencies, but ultimately that's not a smart thing to do. If you defund the BLM, it's going to be a disaster for a state like Montana and other states of BLM land. And that's why elections matter. I'll just tell you, that's why elections matter. That's why voting matters. That's because the truth is that the guy they put in for BLM, a guy named Penn, who they just reappointed, is not one of my favorite people, and if they just made this decision, it fell right squarely on his shoulders. And by the way, that's a non-confirmable position, and it should be confirmable. Not that it would make any difference, but at least we could get a chance to get in front of us and ask questions. But we need R&D, and we need R&D going to universities and private units that can do the kind of work we need that will unleash some of ideas that are in people's minds to really step us forward. It's not being done. Our research budget is, whether it's in healthcare or whether it's in energy or whatever it might be, is not what it needs to be. Food, all sorts of stuff.
We're doing a lot of the R&D. Well, the private sector goes.
Yes.
That it seems the federal government just tends to put the blinders on when it comes to a lot of the research that is being done, or they try to make it sound like it's some kind of voodoo science or something.
It hasn't always been that way.
And it's not voodoo science. It's looking at the planet as a whole. And until we start to really mature as a society, I guess, and start to look at the globalization of our problems, and quit looking at this America first or it goes down to even a smaller scale when you're dealing with, I'm a retired federal employee. And federal employees at the lower level do an incredible job. Yet they are demonized by the head shed in Washington, D.C.
Well, I mean, look, you're correct. Not everybody demonizes. But and it wasn't always this way as far as what's going on with development. It wasn't. And that's what happens when you get what I think is certainly wrong people in these positions.
Different subject.
Okay.
Where does the Blackfoot Clearwater Stewardship Act?
The Blackfoot Clearwater Stewardship Act is alive and well, and we're working to get it through the process. I need some help from. That isn't my hearing aids doing that, but we need some help from Dave and Jim Ford. They're not on board. We need their help, especially Dave in the Republican Senate. I can get around Jim Ford in the House, but I can't get around him in the Senate. Can't get around Steve. Steve's got to get on board. And it's a good bill. It's not a bill that I wrote, by the way. It's folks in Seattle wrote this bill, and it helps everybody. It helps loggers, it helps conservationists, it helps environmentalists. It is a recreationist, it's a win-win deal, and I don't understand why. On the Yellowstone Gateway vote, it was the same thing, by the way, and after the election, he jumped on, we got it passed. If we could get him now, it would help. Yes.
Okay. I was listening to Dane's town hall a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about a forestry bill with Weinstein, his co-sponsor.
Which hasn't been introduced yet, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of wondering, because I know you've done a lot of work in the forestry logging, and they were really talking about the wildfire piece, and so how do we, I don't know, what are your thoughts on maintaining forests intact?
Yep. Well, my thoughts on it is that there's been some really good collaborative work done in the state, and that's where the Blackfoot Clearwater Bill came from. That's where the bill, I had a bill called the Forest Jobs and Recreation Act. It included Blackfoot Clearwater, included a collaborative out of southwestern Montana and northwestern Montana. And it was all done by folks who traditionally argued and fought like hell with one another, but they sat down and realized everybody was losing, so they came up with a common sense approach. And I think that's where the action is. I will tell you one of the problems, and I'll look forward to seeing the bill that Diane and Steve dropped in, but a lot of the solutions are to cut public input out of the process, and that's just not what you should be doing. These are public lands, they're owned by the public, and we need to get public input. Now, are you gonna satisfy every person out there with any public, with any plan that comes down the pipe? No, but you don't wanna cut out the opportunity to give input. It's really important. And you can, there are solutions that meet all the goals that we wanna have. I've got to tell you, when I first got there is when the folks came and approached me back in 2007. I carried the bill, lands bill. And in the state legislature, the rule was is you never get on any of those committees that deal with state lands because it's a tough issue. And when I told Baucus, because Baucus was offered that bill and he turned it down, I said, I'm going to do it. He said, you're crazy. He said, John Melcher isn't here because of Alliance Bill. And so people haven't wanted to touch him, but we have so much incredible ecosystems that are out here in our woods and in our prairies that I think it's, you got to manage them. I really believe that you just can't let them all go. So, yeah, thanks for the question. Is my hearing aid squealing again?
Yeah. I wonder if you could turn it down a little bit more, because it's the microphone in your hearing aid that's interacting with this.
I could shut the damn things off.
That's what I just said, because it's kind of screwed. Okay, just try once, and then put the microphone on.
What? If you speak louder, okay.
I moved here about 16 years ago from California. I was one of those people. But I made up, I do the hood, okay? It's fun. And the thing I realized here is that there really isn't a lot of partisanship. We may disagree on stuff, but there is this Montana lifestyle where we all help each other.
Yeah.
If you have a flat tire, I never asked anybody their political affiliation when they help me with my tire. We all help each other.
Yeah, that's right.
I love hearing all the things you're saying about the great stuff that's going on in Washington and these important bills that are happening. But my sense is,
don't take it too far.
There's a wildfire out of control.
Yes.
And it's hard for me to be as worried about farm subsidies or a bill on the plate, because there's this fire that seems to be taking over. And what I would love, and I just don't know if it's feasible, would be for a coalition of intelligent senators to stand up. I've been waiting for the ex-presidents to do a press conference to say this is crazy. But I wonder if there's a coalition of senators from both parties that could just stand up and say, America, we got your back. We're looking at this stuff. We know it's wrong. Please don't worry. We're going to represent. I just wonder, is that possible?
Yeah, it's possible. It's hard to think that it's going to happen right now. I'll give you plenty of examples. Well, Bob Corker got elected.
Okay,
same
now, hold on a second. Did you turn them off, or did you just take them off?
I took them out and turned
them
off.
Right. You did turn them off completely?
Yeah. Still doing it?
The microphone.
Still doing it. Now the microphone still squeals and I'm deaf.
So. Sorry.
Wow.
this stuff is working. So I think in the good old days it would have happened, and I think we're going to get back to the good old days. I really think that if anything happens out of all this, I think that there's going to be an understanding that this country is a great country and people need to work together, as you pointed out correctly, as we do in Montana. The reason I don't think it's going to happen very quickly is Bob Corker was a Republican out of Tennessee that got elected the same year I did. Bob Corker's a principled man. We didn't agree on everything, but God, I like Bob Corker. I thought he was really a good guy. He challenged the president regularly. He's no longer in the Senate. Jeff Flake, who, you want to talk conservative? This guy was the definition of conservative. He was conservative. And he went after the president and gone. Yeah. So thank God for the people of Montana, because he came after me and I got reelected. So.
I'm really sorry about that old hearing aid. It does appear to be the
I can't hear a damn thing you're saying. But if you...
I think it's the mic.
You think it's the mic?
Yeah. So sorry.
You know what that means for the sound guy up there in the booth?
We're trying, sir.
You're trying? You're doing a good job, bud. I get my hearing aids back now, so... Excuse me. I talked to Max Cleland here about a month ago, and Max served as a senator out of Georgia. He's a Vietnam hero, and he's a hero of my man because he lost his legs in Vietnam. And I said to Max, how are things going? Max is about 10 years older than I am. And he said, whoever calls them golden years are full of crap. And I'm just telling you. So this is not a lot of fun. So, really a good guy. Okay, go ahead, yes.
Sarah from Livingston. This is a town hall, not a Democratic town hall.
That's correct.
So forgive me for asking this question.
No.
A lot of the problems that come up with being a thinly populated state,
yes,
the horrendous mental health, yep, and cuts of things that we all, yep, live with here. Yet one of our votes is the equivalent of 38 votes in California for the United States Senate.
Yes.
So the DNC really had your back,
yeah,
in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
It
was set in the Senate campaign. So just DNC does president, DCCC does House, DSCC does Senate. They
Thank
had
you.
My back. Yep.
Thank you. Do they have the idea that Montana cannot elect two Democratic senators?
No. I don't think so.
If I judge from the effort that they're putting into...
This one?
Yes.
So I will just tell you, and this is how it works on both sides. They took a look at states. Money is finite, believe it or not. And we spend way too much money on elections. And I'll vote for any bill that comes down the pipe that will limit that money that comes in. But they look and they say, all right, so I'll just lay them out. This time around, you've got Colorado, from a Democratic perspective, Republicans could look at it from a different perspective. You've got Colorado, you got North Carolina, you got Arizona, you got Georgia, you've got Maine, you potentially have Iowa, you've got Montana. And that's just about the order they're in, by the way. And they've got $100 million, just for a figure, I don't know how to say it. They've got $100 million. So we've got our best chance to win in Colorado, so we're going to bump up Pickin Looper to make sure that he's in good shape. If he gets in good enough shape, then we'll put some money to one of those other states that I mentioned. But they go off where they have the best chance to flip in the seat. In 2006, they put a lot of money into Montana, and Max was in the Senate. So they put a lot of money to get a second Democrat because I had a good chance of winning, and that's where they did it. It's all about money and metrics, and if you watch the baseball playoffs, it's the same thing in politics. They're looking at every cue that's out there, and that's where they do the investment. Amy Klobuchar got elected the same time I did, and Amy Klobuchar will tell you that about 3 weeks before the election, she was far enough ahead where all the money was pulled out of Minnesota, and it was put into Montana. I hope that was a mic.
that's it. You know, I think they do. It's just, right here, stocking cap. Yeah.
Curtis from Livingston here. So in the beginning, you mentioned, you know, oh, this problem might go away once it's litigated. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, it's a subpoenas put forth by the House for testimony in the impeachment act. Yes.
Well, my concern is, hasn't Donald been stacking the deck in the court since he got in the office? Can we even count on impartialness? That's our litigation system.
That's why I talked about three equal branches of government acting like checks and balances on the others, and time will tell. Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't say whether we get a 9-0 vote out of the Supreme Court right now,
or even the smaller court.
You're exactly correct. Now, that's all we do is confirm judges. We don't take much policy on the floor anymore. Yes, ma'am.
I don't live here. I live in Texas. So my senator is Ted Cruz. Not my senator, but to address how important it is to make these phone calls.
Yeah.
He's on my speed dial.
Yeah.
Cornyn is on my speed dial.
That's good.
Lindsey Graham was on my speed dial. And I call every day, and they, now the office knows me. Hey, Robin, 78624, what do you have to say today? So I really encourage you to make those phone calls.
Yep.
Every day, put them on your speed dial.
Thank you for saying that. Yep. Point well taken. We're going to go right over here, and then we'll get back to you.
I just want to say the work you do for the veterans, bravo. Yeah. The way you stood up for that Ronnie Johnson business, bravo. Yeah. Nobody else wants to stand up. I think that you made a great example. You got the highest level of respect for what you've done there. You took the heat, you got reelected, you showed them guys that all you got to do is stand up and stand tall, and don't take any of that crap, all right? Let's hear it for John. I'm a veteran. And I'm going to tell you about being a veteran. I went to a rally in Billings last summer. Mike Pence was there, and I didn't go because I enjoyed Mike Pence. I went because I know he's the biggest lapdog that Donald Trump owns. So I went there to hear what he had to say. Well, the first thing he has to say is, he says, greetings from your president, Donald Trump. He loves Montana, and he wishes he could be here, but since he ain't here, he sent me to give you all your congratulations, his compliments. He also wants to know if there's any veterans in the crowd. He says, Donald Trump just loves veterans. He loves veterans more than anybody in America. So if there's any veterans here, would you please stand up? Well, I was already standing up because I get nervous when I sit. But there was other folks that did stand up. And he said, thank you very much. The president really appreciates your service. And you all can sit down now. So they did, but I never sat. So I hollered out to him. I wanted his attention, and I wanted to hear what I had to say. I served a year in Vietnam. Where did Donald Trump serve? No reply. I understand he had 5 opportunities to serve. What happened there? No reply. About that time, the Secret Service escorted me out of the building. And I didn't mind being escorted out of the building because they were friendly folks. There was no issue with them. They were all gentlemen. But I used to fly the flag at my house. I rigged up a contrivance on the power pole right at the corner. And I rigged up a contrivance, and I hung the flag up there, and it flew day and night, because we had a light on it, and I know the etiquette. And the only time it didn't fly was when the wind would blow it out of the socket, or else it got so tattered that I had to get another one. Donald Trump desecrates the flag. I have taken that flag down the day he got nominated, or the day he got inaugurated. I took the flag down out of that socket, and I ain't put it up since. My wife was after me to put it up. I said, Donald Trump does not represent the qualities of the United States. That ain't the way my country operates. I can't stand that man. The grossest thing I ever seen, the most disgusting thing I ever seen in my entire existence, was when Donald Trump walked up onto the stage, wrapped his arms around the flag, and started humping it. That was the most disgusting thing I ever seen. He desecrates the flag, and I want him out of there.
I've got a confession to make. Don't let the haircut fool you. I didn't serve in the military. Vietnam was winding down when I was a junior. in high school, but I have incredible respect for the people who served, and I will tell you why. I got appointed to the Veterans Affairs Committee. It was one of the first committees I was appointed to. And I had a town hall meeting in Helena, Montana, and there was a guy looking a lot like you, actually. It might have been you. that came out and he says, I've been in the woods since I got out of Vietnam. And he literally been in the woods. He had been in the woods. And he came out and he says, I came out because I want to tell you one thing. You will not treat the men and women who served in these wars like you treated the Vietnam veterans. And I remember that every day. Because the truth is when you came home, there was no celebrations at the airport. If you wore your uniform, there were people who looked down upon you. But you sacrificed. When people told you to do stuff, you didn't argue, you did it. And I just can't thank you and all your other veterans for what your service to this country is.
All right, back here. I promised you. You're right. Go ahead, sorry.
John Tetzer, it's an honor to get to meet you today. My name's Gary Travis, and I have a question about civic youth. Are y'all working in high school or in the junior college or in that level of getting civic youth involved in politics in the sense of getting out there to vote? Because I think that's where
you're right.
There is some lacking because there's not enough information highway.
You're correct. We've got to do a better job utilizing methods to reach out to the millennials to be able to get those folks involved. I will tell you that when I was in college, people were saying that the college kids aren't, the young people aren't being involved in politics, and they were right. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I think we have to do a better job. I'm talking about the elected representatives have to do a better job at every level of government, reaching out to those folks. There are groups on campuses on both sides, by the way, that get out there and try to organize, and I applaud those efforts on both sides because I think it's important. Young people get to make up their own mind based on the facts, and these young people are smart, man. I tell you what, they know more about what's going on in the world than I ever did when I was their age. I'll just tell you that it's pretty amazing and it's pretty cool. But we have to continue to remember that the world we live in today is basically we were renting from them, and so we've got to make sure that their voices are part of the equation, a big part of the equation too.
Can I jump in for a second? Hi, Charlotte Freeman. Faculty advisor for the campus Democrats at MSU. So they're great. They're doing great work. I'm a figurehead. I just sign whatever they need me to sign. But rest assured, they're working hard. They're out there. I've got kids who are canvassing. I've been canvassing for 3 years, every Tuesday, going out, knocking doors in Bozeman, registering people to vote.
Thank you. We've got my staff. He's telling me one more question. She says wrap it up, but one more question. Here we go. I'm the best looking guy in the place. Yes.
Originally from Kentucky.
Yes.
And there's a guy in Kentucky now named Mitch McConnell. Any chance of him working any way whatsoever on this impeachment deal?
We heard what he said here. I'm not making this up. He just put out a fundraiser, I'll paraphrase it, that said, the only way you stop impeachment is with me leading the Senate. It's dead on arrival. By the way, the Senate is the jury. And I got to tell you, if I had a juror that said that, he wouldn't be on the jury. So hopefully, he's up for election this year. Hopefully, people in Kentucky heard that.
We hope so.
Yeah, it's good. Go ahead, I lied. One more
question. Prefacing this, Sally from Livingston. With all of the things with the Mueller investigation results and now the Ukraine influence peddling allegations, what is your confidence level in the 2020 election results? And what steps are we taking as far as...
I Wow, that's good. Look, if people vote, I have good confidence. I mean, I think if people vote, I think the right person will win. I will tell you that how this works out on the impeachment is going to be really interesting to watch, because I think if they stay focused on Ukraine, I'm talking about the House, if they stay focused on Ukraine, if they get the information that's so important to get for what happened, I think the decision will be easy one way or the other. He will either be forgiven for what that conversation with Ukraine was, or he'll be impeached. And I think what happens there is really important. Now, there are the spin machines that weren't around during Watergate that are going to try to politicize this, and they're going to try to draw it out for as long as they possibly can, and they're going to try to deflect to other things. And my advice to the folks in the House, to the gentleman who you wrote to over here, what's his name? I can't think of it. The chairman of the committee is to stay focused on Ukraine. Just stay focused on Ukraine. I've read the transcripts. I've read the complaint. We need to get as much information as we possibly can to make sure if the there is true there. So that's it. Thank you all very much for being here. Appreciate it. God bless you. Enjoy the fall. I'm sure we're going to get it sometime. Take care.
Thanks to the sound man.
Thank you. Thanks, sound man.
Well, Dixie, that was an interesting town hall. And I have to tell you that it's great to see a senator standing up there live, taking heat and some praise from a group of people that are obviously very engaged. I mean, you can feel it. These people are worried, interested, motivated to ask questions, to find things out, to get information, and Tester was there to do his best to answer them. It was, to me, it was kind of exhilarating. I wish we could do this every month. I know that's impractical, but in terms of American political involvement, this was great.
Yeah, it was a very impressive experience. Again, I'm really impressed with the knowledge of the people from our community, the types of questions they asked, the range of the questions. It really shows you how well people in this community are informed about what's going on and concerned.
Yeah, it makes me proud of Park County. We have a very active group of people here. We're small, but we really make up for it with engagement. You know, it's great to see.
Yeah, that really came across, and I think it was really interesting how Senator Tester just seemed to be able to roll with all the questions and came across as directly and honestly as he could.
Yeah, I think the word everybody will use is authentic. He's not, doesn't sound like your average politician, even though he's been doing this for a long time.
And I can't imagine too many senators that would stand in front of a crowd of people and remove their hearing aids and then put them back in. I mean, that was quite an impressive moment, too.
Yeah. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed it. This is going to be a series of things that we're doing to try to cover civic events. A podcast runs through it. It's normally taped and recorded in Sound Color Studios in Livingston, and we're running right now a series of interviews with candidates. These are people who are running for various state and local offices that will be up in the primaries. And, of course, I should remind everybody about the City of Livingston having its election for city commissioners on the 5th of November. We hope you'll all participate, go and listen to some of these people. And
another reminder, the world-famous Park County Democrats Lasagna Dinner will be doing another remote program from there on October 24th. So we'll see you there.
Thanks for listening.